Question. If you could live forever, would you and why? Answer. I would not live forever because we should not live forever. Because if we were supposed to live forever, then we would live forever, but we cannot live forever, which is why I would not live forever. Miss Alabama in the 1994 Miss USA contest. Our attitudes toward aging and our responses to the changes in appearance that aging brings are totally colored by our knowledge that we are moving inexorably toward death. It is not my intention to write about death or the fear of dying in this book, but I find it impossible to avoid mentioning them as the source of our negative feelings about aging, which are entirely based in fear. Some species age more slowly than we do, others more rapidly. I have lived with dogs for many years and have watched several canine companions grow up, grow old, and die. As I write, I am looking at a photograph from several years ago of two of my Rhodesian Ridgebacks on the front step of my house in southern Arizona. One is a young male, Jumbo, who could not be more than a year old in the photo. He is standing, sleek, handsome, with all the vitality of youth. The other, BT, must have been 15, very old for such a large breed. She is lying down, her face completely white. Soon she was unable to get up. I helped her through her decline, but finally had to euthanize her a day before her 16th birthday. Jumbo is now 8 years old, still in his prime, still sleek, handsome, and vital, with a deep, soulful personality that makes him an ideal companion animal. Most people who meet him comment on how good-looking he is, the perfect combination of strength and beauty. Sometimes, if I am reading in bed at night, I invite him to come up and sit beside me for a few minutes. If I rub his chest in a certain way, he looks up toward the ceiling, extending his neck in a posture of noble contentment that I find very appealing. But when he is in this position, I cannot avoid noticing the first white hairs on his otherwise black chin. And whenever I see them, I also cannot avoid noticing that there are more than the last time I looked. I know from experience that this dusting of white heralds the changes to come, that one day he too will be frosted with the white of old age. And when I see those signs of aging on his strong chin, I think about the disappearance of black from my own facial hair, about the unalterable passage of time, the relentless change of physical bodies as we decline. I think about the pain of the loss of previous companions, about separation from beings I love and who love me, about my own fear of the end and the sadness that is never separable from the joy of human experience. And all of this has come from the observation of a few white hairs on the chin of my dog. We all sense the finiteness of life, and we all fantasize about living forever. Is it any wonder, then, that we put so much effort into denying the fact of our aging with cosmetics, plastic surgery, and verbal deceits? You look so much younger. And why are we so enthralled by proponents of anti-aging medicine who tell us that we can stop or even turn back the clock? Immortality is an alluring concept, but I wonder how many of us have thought through its meaning and implications, which turn out not to be so simple. If you lived beyond the normal human lifespan, what would your life be like? I invite you to look at immortality with me through the lens of biology. Apart from framing this discussion of healthy aging, it will give you a chance to become acquainted with the latest findings of scientists who are studying the aging process. All of the practical advice I have to give you in part two of this book is based on this scientific evidence and grounded in a philosophy that rejects immortality and eternal youthfulness as unworthy goals. A tension between mortality and immortality is played out on all levels of our being, from ourselves to our psyches. Understanding it will help you accept the fact of aging and motivate you to learn to do it as gracefully as possible.